Hello, welcome in. Latest episode, that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brent. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's our great friend, Stephen Lassen, senior editor over at Athlon Sports. Stephen and I have caught the World Cup fever, so we're going a little bit early so we don't conflict with the game. And again, this was Stephen's idea, so we appreciate you, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, Mike. It's good to talk to you. Hope you and all the cousins had a great 4th of July. It is July, my friend, which means next month college football starts. So I know we're all excited about soccer. Let's hope Jimbo Fisher doesn't show up tonight. But man, I can't wait to be in the mix of college football season. I am ready for 2026, sort of to get here. Could use a little more time off, but I'm still ready.
Right. And I'll give you one of two options, Stephen. We've come up with a great show topic for this episode. We are going to predict the SEC stat leaders for 2026 in a number of key categories. We can do that, or we could preview the World Cup for an hour and a half. What do you think, Stephen?
Mike, I think it's one of those cases where I should probably stay in my lane. I don't know a ton about the World Cup at soccer. I sort of know some about college football, although I don't want to make anybody angry this week with any kind of coordinator ranking. So I figured stat projections would be safer, right?
Oh, I don't think so, Stephen. We're going to make plenty of people upset. So yeah, absolutely. So let's just dive into it. So the statistics, again, that we will be predicting on this episode, again, we're just trying to forecast who's going to lead the SEC in passing yards, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, sacks, and interceptions. So that's where we're going to go on this episode, and we'll wrap it up for all the soccer hooligans at the end. But how about we start, Stephen, with passing yards, predicting who will lead the SEC in passing yards next season. How does that sound?
Let's do it, Mike. The most important position on the field, right?
Absolutely. Or as they say, the striker in football or in soccer. So I'm kidding. All right. So here's how we're going to do it. So let's discuss before we reveal our answer, Stephen, because we could get through this show in about 90 seconds. We just give our answers of who we think will lead the SEC in passing yards next season. Who are some of the key candidates that you really considered to be the leading passing yards in the SEC next season?
Mike, I think it's noteworthy that two out of the top five passing yards leaders are gone from last season, Joey Aguilar and Diego Pavia. So three are back, and that's kind of where my discussion on these started. I went to last year's stats and kind of started ranking and sorting from there. I always sort of think of the idea, you don't get last year's stats, but it's a good starting point. So I started with Trinidad Chambliss, I started with Arch Manning, and I started with Marceau Reed and John Mateer as kind of the top returning passing leaders from a yardage standpoint. I thought those were kind of the ones you have to start with just based upon the stats from last year. And Mike, within that, I thought there were two names that kind of stood above the other two in that discussion. But any names outside of that that kind of jumped out to you?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, Stephen, if you would consider Sam Leavitt, LSU. Again, we don't know injuries, things of that nature, but you know, the latest out of Baton Rouge is he should be good to go. Did you give any consideration to LSU, Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss, their first quarterback for LSU?
Absolutely. Here's a stat for you, Mike. In five out of the last 6 years, Lane Kiffin's offense at Ole Miss finished in the top five of the SEC in passing yardage per game. So that right there ought to tell you that Sam Leavitt in this offense, if he lives up to the hype, is going to be a serious contender to rank in the top five of passing yards. And of course, you have to like, you know, like I said, the track record, the scheme, the weapons I think they're going to have around him. So absolutely thought about Sam Leavitt. I also, one guy we haven't said, Mike, Lenora Sellers. I do think if you look at, you know, Kendall Briles' track record at TCU and even going back, TCU consistently ranked near the top of the Big 12 the last couple of years in passing yardage. Josh Hoover, their starting quarterback now is the starting quarterback at Indiana. Now, I don't know that we'll necessarily see that kind of volume, but I weighed that in saying, I think Sellers rebounds. I like the scheme. I'm worried about the offensive line, but I feel like there's more production than we saw last year with Sellers.
Well, how about another name, Stephen, for Stephen Epp, the legend down there, Keelan Russell, if he starts for Alabama. No, or we could go Austin Mack as well, but basically it'd be a lot easier to make this selection if we knew who Alabama's starting quarterback is going to be. But even someone that has made fun of DeBoering as much as I have, him and offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, I mean, all they do is produce elite quarterbacks, very productive. If, you know, let's just say you could pick either quarterback and we know they're going to be the starter and we know they're going to play all season long for the Crimson Tide. Would you consider one of those options?
I would. And it's always dangerous to just look at like last year's stats, but Ty Simpson was second in the SEC in passing yardage. Also, Mike, even going back to Washington, Michael Penix, go back to Fresno State, Jake Haener. Good quarterbacks under Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer have put up the type of yardage that you need to rank in the top five of the SEC. So I 100% considered Keelan Russell. Also, Mike, on this same note, isn't this also the case too with Tennessee? If you knew Faison Brandon or George McIntyre started all 12 games in the regular season, I think they would be a strong contender for the top five. Would you agree?
I would like to know how much Cousin Shane bribed you to ask this question of me, Stephen, because quite honestly, I did not consider them. I've been on record. I think they're going to be very good, whoever it is, whether it's McIntyre or Faison Brandon. But leading the SEC in passing, I think that's a little bit of a bridge too far for an inexperienced Tennessee quarterback.
Joey Aguilar led the SEC last year in passing yards per game, not total. Obviously, Trinidad Chambliss had a couple extra games at the end of the year to tack on to that total. Let me say this. I think Tennessee, we've seen under Heupel, they have an ability to kind of mold the team to the strengths. And when you look at Deshaun Bishop and you look at what I think is going to be an improved defense, I don't necessarily see them having a quarterback at the top of passing yardage. But if you told me that Faison Brandon started from game one to game 12 and we projected his improvement and we think that he does take that kind of step forward that you see during the season, I think finishing in the top five of the SEC isn't crazy. I do think it is a deep year for top five contenders here, but I could totally see it in this offense. I could also totally see it saying it takes some time for these young quarterbacks to develop.
All right, Stephen, how about another name that you haven't mentioned that I think could have a big year? In fact, I'm pretty sure he will, provided he stays healthy. How about Kamario Taylor at Mississippi State, Stephen, who all Jeff Lebby does is produce touted offenses. He's a quarterback whisperer. We got a glimpse of Taylor late last season, bowl game, Egg Bowl, and I thought he shined. And we lost both those games, but that's neither here nor there. Steve, this is 26, and I think Kamario Taylor, I don't think we should, write him off. I think there's an outstanding chance. Again, we're not even saying top five quarterbacks, and he could be a top five quarterback. We are trying to predict who's going to lead the SEC in passing yards. I think Kamario Taylor should be in the discussion.
I agree with you. So if you look at just last year's numbers, I think Blake Shapen was like 11th in the SEC in just pure passing yardage. I'm going to bet that Kamario Taylor finishes higher. I certainly think he finishes higher if we did total offense in the SEC. So I think if maybe he's not one of, like, if you had to list the favorites here, he would probably not be near the top because you have Arch and Chambliss and some of these other guys coming back. But I think if you wanted to take the sleeper pick to finish in the top five, I would take Kamario Taylor to be a strong contender to do so. I really think he does have that breakout season coming up.
Okay, I've got another sleeper for you, Stephen. Again, I'm not saying this guy will be top five, but I'm just kind of curious if you would even consider it. How about Florida's Aaron Philo. And again, we don't even know if he's going to be Aaron Philo, but with the receiving talent they have, his knowledge of Buster Faulkner's offense, he's, to my knowledge, he's thrown for more yards in Georgia high school football history than anybody. And they've had the likes of Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson and many, many others. Aaron Philo, if it is him, with the weapons he has to work with, I think there's an outside shot. You know, maybe we get some, I don't want to put old Buster in old Spurrier land here, but, you know, we bring back a, like a fun and gun style to Gainesville. Could Aaron Philo be up there?
That's an interesting question, Mike, because I didn't consider Philo for the top five. He was kind of like in that second tier. But also, if you take a step back and just think about, okay, the weapons that they have with Singleton and Brown and Dallas Wilson, and also the scheme. I mean, Faulkner's done a good job of kind of adapting his schemes to, whether it's at Georgia Tech or other stops in his career, of kind of what personnel makes sense. We know they have some offensive line questions. If you maybe struggle to run the ball, do you throw it a little bit more? Also, I liked what I saw out of Philo at Georgia Tech. I think he is a really promising player in this offense. So I think he's maybe like in that tier two for me. I could see him kind of being a sleeper, but I don't know if I'd have him as maybe like in that Kamario Taylor territory, the potential to finish in the top five.
And we have we even gone this far, Stephen, and we've even mentioned Gunnar Stockton?
Yeah, good call. Mike, he was what, seventh in the SEC last year in passing yardage. If you look just at SEC games last year, Gunnar Stockton, I believe, had the most passing touchdowns of any quarterback in the conference, 21, just an SEC game. So probably a guy that's not going to get talked a lot about from a pure volume standpoint. I think the efficiency is probably going to be where Stockton ranks higher on, because I just looking at what we've talked about, the formula for Georgia defense, run the ball, kind of efficiency out of Stockton. I don't know that the production from a volume standpoint is going to be there. I think it's more going to be like solid, steady play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's almost like if Gunnar Stockton leads the SEC in passing, that tells me something went horribly wrong at Georgia.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, yeah, talk about a major surprise. Yeah, Stockton is at the top of the SEC in passing yardage. It also means that Georgia's defense probably isn't very good, which would be a shock considering what they have coming back.
Okay, so we went through, one other guy we have not, or two guys that I have on my list even that we have not mentioned. How about old Austin Simmons at Missouri? Would you consider him at all?
Mike, I did consider him. It's hard to weigh Missouri because of the Ahmad Hardy situation, not knowing what exactly, how many games we're going to see out of him. Also, I'm intrigued by the sample size we've seen out of Austin Simmons. I've also seen enough to say, I think he probably falls in that second tier. Also, consider what Missouri has on defense with all the personnel turnover. Do you have to win more high scoring games, thus leading to more volume? So I think you could absolutely be there. I like Missouri's receivers too. I think for all the focus on Hardy and Robertson, rightfully so, I think they've got some playmakers that if Simmons steps up, that volume plus that potential, he's kind of in that Kamario Taylor conversation for me.
All right. And then one more, unless you have someone else on your list, perhaps. One guy we've not mentioned, Byron Brown, Auburn. Well, I think he's going to come into this conference and assert himself as quite possibly one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Would you consider him at all?
I considered him more for the rushing side of things. I'm not going to weigh too much into the spring. Obviously, he had some issues with throwing the ball in the spring game. I'm not too worried about that. I think his bigger impact is probably going to come on the ground this year. I think top five passing yards was too high for me. Was it for you, or was he a serious contender for that?
Well, I believe, Stephen, he's passed for over 3,000 yards multiple times.
Yeah.
And that's never been done in Auburn history. Or I think they've had two guys throw for 3,000 yards in Auburn history. And not since, do you know the last one, Stephen? Put you on the spot here. If you have any idea, it was the last Auburn quarterback to throw for 3,000 yards in a season.
Sounds like it's been a bit, right?
a couple years.
Yeah, a couple years. Yeah, you're going to have to hit me with this one because I got a lot of names, but it's not landing anywhere.
Not Cam Newton. Jarrett Stidham. How about that?
Oh, yeah. That's a good call.
So he's one of two that have done it. But I think Byron Brown may, I don't know. He's, you know, it's different competition. So I don't know. Like you, I think he'll be all around. No, it was not Jackson Arnold. But I considered him. I did.
This seems, I mean, as we're talking and I know it's dangerous to say this because every year it's like, man, this quarterback hall is loaded. It's going to be the greatest group of quarterbacks. But man, I mean, we've mentioned, I mean, what, 13, 14, how many, I mean, Kenny Minchie in this discussion too, and Will Stein's offense, we've mentioned a good chunk of the quarterbacks in this conference. I mean, I think it goes to show that this is a really, really good year for quarterbacks. We haven't even mentioned that, hey, Jared Curtis is a five-star, you know, Arkansas's offense has put up good numbers at Memphis. So this seems like it's going to be a really hard cut for someone like Byron Brown to, even with the familiarity, to come right into the SEC and finish in top five in passing. I like him maybe on the total offense side, just not there in passing.
No, I think that's completely fair. So, all right. Are you ready? Anybody else that we've not, I mean, we basically mentioned them all. Is there anybody on your list that we didn't mention?
Mike, I think we covered it. I think we pretty much mentioned all 16 starters.
Okay. So who's it going to be, Steven? Who's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in passing? And I should have said this too. I apologize. I should have said this at the top. I'm just saying, and I think Steven got this because this is something Steven and I kind of prepare for before we go on air here, but just, you know, 12 regular season. So I'm not counting a playoff. I'm not counting a bowl because I don't think that's fair. So just same sample size for everybody is basically the way I did this. So taking that into consideration, Steven, we know you got Arch going all the way to the national championship, so you can't count those statistics, but just the 12-game regular season, who's leading the SEC in passing?
Mike, give me Trinidad Chambliss. Oh. Led the SEC by almost 400 passing yards last year. Now he had more games, but he's going to get more playing time early on. I think year two, he could be even better. Defenses might also figure him out to some extent too, but give me Trinidad Chambliss to lead the SEC in passing yards.
I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore. I mean, you must have to cover your Arch tattoo to give it that answer. I am stunned over here, Steven. I mean, heck, I almost did Arch, but I just didn't want to just copy Steven. So I didn't go with that. So I said, Trinidad Chambliss, come on!
All right,
so we got the same one here. And again, it's a combination of things. I'm slightly concerned with the not complete, but overhaul of the receiving core. Overhaul, of course, of the offensive brain trust there in Oxford. But I've gone back and been watching Trinidad recently. Both Georgia games I watched this afternoon, and I don't know. I feel like he might just be scratching the surface of what he. And I mean, that's scary to think about. I mean, how efficient he was. I mean, he's played Georgia two games, Steven, and for about seven quarters, he was unstoppable.
Yeah.
So if we get now to get, are we going to get that week in, week out? I don't know that anyone can keep that up for 12 games, but I like Trinidad. And it was, you know, by a hair here, but I'm just kind of still flabbergasted that you said Trinidad. I still can't believe it. We're going to drug test you as soon as this episode is over. But I do feel pretty good about my Trinidad pick.
Was Arch and Chambliss the only two quarterbacks you considered for number one?
They were at the top, at the forefront for sure. But I am thinking, you know, if I knew who Alabama's quarterback was going to be, I would consider that guy, because I think he'll have a really good season. And we know Alabama can't ever run the football under DeBoering. So, I mean, those are kind of my guys. And I honestly, I really wanted to put Byron Brown up there, but I think that is asking a lot for him to just step in here. And of course, Aguilar did it. So I don't know. I don't think we should write off Brown so easily either.
I think we have, I think, and I know, I'm sure you kind of feel the same way I do, is you have to be careful not to just assume what happened in last year's stats is going to happen again. So it is, I kind of tried to throw a few curveballs in my top five. Obviously there were some, it's just hard to ignore. They're proven. They have the track record. They have the offense, Chambliss and Arch being two of those at the top. I thought those two were kind of the clear top two for passing yards. I think you get to like 3 through 8 or 9 in this conference in terms of projecting who's going to lead it. I think it's tough because I think you can make a case for a couple of different guys at 3 and or even like Sam Leavitt of LSU. I think if we had a greater sample size of him at Arizona State and maybe there was a little bit more of this, maybe like the second year, if he was at LSU last year and now in this offense for 2 years, I think we would maybe feel better about maybe kind of figuring out where he stacks up, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense. So we've kind of went over all the candidates. No need to rehash it. But is the thought process, how different is it for you, Stephen, when we are discussing predicting the passing touchdown leader in the Southeastern Conference in 2026?
A lot of it was kind of looking at who brings back like the weapons at receiver and also trying to project like with the passing yardage of thinking, okay, this guy was going to, I think he's going to be in the top five of the SEC in passing yards. He's got the weapons come back, kind of offensive system too. So it wasn't totally different, Mike. I think my top five, as far as like projected yardage, was pretty close to my projected top names at the board for passing touchdowns. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Although I kind of had a little bit different logic here, Stephen, for my passing touchdowns. I like a lot of what you had to say, highlighted the weapons, what they have coming back, what they've added via the transfer portal. There's transition with the guy that I've picked, but there's some continuity as well. There's going to be an added emphasis, and I think I'm going to shock some people. So if you don't mind, Stephen, I'd like to reveal mine first.
I like
passing touchdowns leader in the Southeastern Conference next season. I don't think anybody would guess this. Give me Marcel Reed, Texas A&M. How about that, Stephen? Because, you know, what are we hearing out of College Station? We're going to run tempo, perhaps. We're going to go quick. Our new offensive coordinator, he was the passing game coordinator. So there is some continuity there. Mario Craver, he was awesome last year. Isaiah Horton coming over from Alabama. I think he's already emerged in the spring. He looks like he's going to shift seamlessly into that offense, College Station. I don't know if we're going to be able to run the football to the degree that we have, so I think we're going to rely a little bit more on Marcel Reed. He's getting pissed off his offseason. Hey, I'm a quarterback. I think these are the things, Stephen, where I think he'll be driven to be an even better player. And I don't think people understand. Again, I see a Longhorn laughing in the comments. Arch had 26 passing touchdowns last year, which is awesome. Marcel had 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people act like this guy can't throw the football when last I checked, I mean, they played the same number of games here. So, give me Marcel. I think he's going to lead the SEC in passing touchdowns this year.
Mike, I'm actually, I guess, not that crazy. One thing I would say, too, is it's almost like you have to think about this like fantasy football. And, like, they may be a better player in real life, but they're not necessarily the best stats people. And that could be true for, you know, some of the other positions that we talk about. Because I actually had Reed pretty high on my list too. Like you said, 25 passing touchdowns last season. I think the Holman Wiggins being a receivers coach, he knows that position well. That is where your main nucleus of weapons is. You have Isaiah Horton. You've got Mario Craver. I kind of like the difference. Like, Craver's the playmaker. You got Horton, the bigger body. You got Bethel Roman. You can spread the field. If you don't trust necessarily your offensive line early on, because you have so many new faces, you can't just be grinded out type of offense. You got to spread the field and throw it. Let Marcel Reed be a playmaker, build some confidence, and then he's going to have to throw it, and he's going to have to grow into the starting job even more for Texas A&M to make the playoff this year. So I actually think that, Mike, that may seem kind of crazy on the surface. Diego Pavia led the SEC with 29 passing touchdowns last year. Chambliss had 22. So it would not shock me at all if Marcel Reed goes something like 25 to 30 this year and leads the SEC, given the emphasis for him to kind of be a leader even more so for this offense.
All right, so go ahead and tell us why you have Arch.
Mike, Cam Coleman's coming over from Auburn. That's kind of the missing piece of me. You got Wingo. You got Emmett Mosley. You've got Sarkisian's system. I think with more weapons around Arch and the way that he finished last year, he's only going to elevate his game to another level. I think he throws over 30 touchdowns this year. So I think Arch and Cam Coleman, that duo, is a big reason why Arch Manning leads the SEC in passing touchdowns. But Mike, much like passing yards, it was not a slam dunk. I do think Trinidad Chambliss will be higher than 22 right there with Marcel Reed.
Okay, so you're allowed to keep the tattoo after that comment, Stephen. But I have to give it to you for not giving it for the yardage as well. But no, I think that's a fair. I think that is a fair selection. I was considering Arch. I almost picked Arch, to be honest with you, but I also, now you could make the same case for Marcel Reed, but when Texas gets near the goal line, I think Arch is going to get a lot of rushing touchdowns like he did last year, which could affect that number. And that is something I considered. And again, that could be the case for Marcel Reed as well. But I think, I don't know, if it makes sense, I think defenses are going to make Marcel Reed beat him with his arm more than they are Arch Manning, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And also, I think, just thinking about like the weapons, and I think when you have somebody like Cam Coleman, and kind of like we discussed a minute ago, he gives you that ability to be like a game breaker. Like, you can throw it in the end zone, he's going to make the acrobatic catch. It also helps like to punch it in the red zone. Like, when you got a guy who can go up and do that in some of the inconsistencies that we saw out of Texas in his receivers last year. So that's kind of why, when I was kind of parsing through, I like, you know, the Reed and sort of the extra emphasis. I like Chambliss and the volume we're going to see. I think it's kind of like Manning is going to build plus Coleman, and he's going to get to that 30 touchdown mark, which was kind of the threshold I was setting for my leader here. But I mean, Mike, we mentioned it. Pavia led the SEC in touchdowns. Gunnar Stockton had 21 in SEC play. That was the most in any by a quarterback in SEC game. So, you know, the rushing touchdowns by like Manning, Chambliss, Reed could really eat into some of these passing touchdowns, which is why it wouldn't shock me. Hey, if there's somebody we're not discussing here, could end up leading the SEC in passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I think that is maybe even John Mateer. You know, we haven't talked much John Mateer, but again, something we said similar with Gunnar Stockton. I don't think Oklahoma, yeah, I mean, if they could score 40 points per game, they obviously would. But I just don't think that's the brand of football Brent Venables is going to want to play, if that makes sense. Like, I think he's going to want less snaps for his defense, being able to run the ball more effectively. I think at his core, I think that's what he would prefer.
I agree. That was something when I was weighing passing yards and passing touchdowns, was trying to weigh the balance that Oklahoma wants to play with. Like, I think on one side of things, you got to say that their offense is going to be better this year because the offensive line is older. They should be able to run the ball. Mateer is also healthy, but also they got this great defense and they're not going to play the way Ole Miss is going to play on offense. And maybe they strategically do that during the year. So they're a hard team to weigh just because of the injury. We don't have a great sample size last year from Mateer over a healthy season. So I think there's some growth there, but also could see that just because of the team balance, Mateer's probably not going to have the 30 passing touchdowns that maybe an Arch, Chambliss, or Marcel Reed has.
No, I think that's fair, Stephen. You know what I also think is fair? Going over and checking out SeatGeek. Come on, with that promo code SEC Ted Stephen, the college football season right around the corner. We all know we're going to be going to these games. And I'm already looking into going to the LSU Ole Miss game, the Tennessee at A&M game. And when I get my ticket, Steven, I'm going to go over to SeatGeek and put in that promo code SEC10 to get 10% off my complete order over at SeatGeek.com. So go check them out. Hey, if you're going to go to the games anyway, Steven, you might as well save you a couple bucks. That's all we're trying to do is save you some money. Go hook them up. Second year in a row, we really love SeatGeek. And as Shane always likes to say, you can look up the full arena, the full stadium, right? And you get to know how far away you are from the concession stand. That's his favorite thing about the damn app. Not the savings that he gets, but how closely he is to the bathroom and the concessions. But yeah, go check him out, SeatGeek. And it's not just football. All the sports, music and concerts, all that. Go check him out over at SeatGeek. SeatGeek 10 to get 10% off. You can't beat it, Steven.
Absolutely not, Mike. I mean, that what a great deal that is. I mean, Cousin Shane's right. You got to know, you know, where the concession stand is, got to know where the rest, you got to know how to make a quick exit at the end of the game too. So that's always important. But man, just talking about these games, you know, you mentioned Texas A&M. We're talking about Marcel Reed, got the Tennessee, got LSU and Ole Miss. I mean, goodness. I mean, they talk about a game that's got a lot of storylines built up around it. So man, I can't wait. Have you ever been to College Station before?
No, that's why we really want to go. I think my dad's going to go. I think my college roommate wants to go. So, yeah, there'll be quite a few of us, I think, making the trek down there. Very excited about that. If there's one game, Steven, one game that you could parachute into in the SEC this fall and use that promo code SEC10 at SeatGeek, where would you do it?
Man, it's got to be that LSU Ole Miss game. It's got to be that one just because of Kiffin going back to Oxford. But man, just the circus it's going to be. Like, I'd want to be there almost all week to be able to like build up all the hype and take it all in. Wouldn't you?
Oh, no doubt. And I don't know if you saw last week, but old Trinidad, you know, he was throwing a little gas on that fire, just talking about how that's the game he's got circled. And Louisiana State, he said Kiffin's there, Charlie Weiss is there. I love the fact that they keep adding a little fuel to that fire.
Oh man, Mike, it's we haven't even made it to SEC media days. And like we've got like a full like, you know, fire built up between these two teams just because of the back and forth, and it's probably only going to ramp up. I suspect maybe the week of, like it might quiet down a little bit as both teams try to like loosen up a bit and take the pressure off. But with media days, training camp starting up, you can bet that there's only going to be some more fuel tossed around between these two teams. So I can't wait for that one. It's funny because it feels like it's kind of overshadowing Texas versus Ohio State, which might be one versus two in some of these polls this offseason.
Yeah. That's an interesting point I haven't thought about. But all right, Steven, let's switch gears. We talked all about passing. Let's get into rushing yards. Who's going to lead the SEC in rushing yards in 2026. Steve and I were discussing this a little off air. Ahmad Hardy, what's his status? I mean, I don't even think Missouri knows, Steven. So I'm not counting him to be there for a full 12 games. Now, I hope I'm wrong, and maybe he is, but I'll give you an indication of where I'm leaning here, Steven. I think Jamal Roberts is going to lead Missouri in rushing yards. Is that a crazy bold take?
I don't think so. I kind of share your thoughts on this one, which is I don't think you can count on him right now to be there all 12 games for Missouri. Now, Eli Drinkwitz may tell us something different when we get to SEC media days, but I would bank on him probably not being there for all 12 games just because of the severity of this, which means to me, Roberts was, if he starts all 12 games for Missouri and there's no Ahmad Hardy, I think he could be a pretty high rated contender for the top rushing yards. But Mike, I think if we knew Ahmad Hardy was starting every game, I think he's probably a clear cut choice at number one for this discussion. Don't you think?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. So I just wanted to make that clear because I didn't want to pick someone else and then be like, hey, you ever heard of this Ahmad Hardy? He's pretty damn good. So we're aware of that, but also we don't know his status. So again, hopefully he's 100% and he just whoops everybody's ass this year, but I just don't know how realistic that is. How about run the ball, Steven? When John Sumrall got down there, he said, hey, that's what we're going to do. We're going to run this ball 30 times a game, something crazy like that, he said. So Jaden Ball's got to be in the discussion, I would think, for most rushing yards in the SEC this fall.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, Georgia Tech was fourth in the ACC in rushing attempts last year. You add in Buster Faulkner coming over from Georgia Tech to Florida in that scheme and sort of building your offense around like your most valuable asset, which is Jaden Baugh. I'm a little bit worried about the offensive line in Gainesville, but also I think Jaden Baugh is just too good of a player and can overcome some of those concerns.
Okay, and then, of course, Kewin Lacy there at Ole Miss. I mean, what did he score, 24 touchdowns last year? Steven, he is a dynamic running back, arguably, you know, 1A, 1B with Ahmad Hardy. And they're very different styles, but he's a fantastic running back in his own right. Got to consider him as well, I would think.
No question about it, Mike. I think he was probably my easy number one pick, considering what's going on with Ahmad Hardy.
Yeah, he's right there. And again, I would think he's got a massive edge. We talked all about the passing already, but he's got an edge with the quarterback to kind of lean on. So you can be a lot more balanced on that side of the football than any of the running backs we've mentioned up until this point. I also think you got to factor in DeShawn Bishop, Steven, with Tennessee. He's one of four running backs returning in the Southeastern Conference that had 1,000 yards last year. And they've got a lot returning on the offensive line. Now, how balanced can they be with a new quarterback? That might be the biggest hiccup there. But I think DeShawn Bishop's got to be factored in as well.
100%. Also, I think, Mike, with Bishop and Kewin Lacy, you also think about just trying to project like total rushing yards. Both those teams have question marks like behind him. Like Kewin Lacy, they have Mekhi Frazier from Michigan State they brought in this transfer portal cycle. But I think if we're just projecting like volume, like DeShawn Bishop, there is a big question mark behind him considering what transferred. And then Lacy, that volume, even if you have some question marks about the offensive line, that volume in this offense and what he produced last year, same thing for DeShawn Bishop. I mean, less than 200 carries and fourth in the SEC in rushing yards is pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm. How about some wild cards, Steven? How about Jeremiah Cobb at Auburn? I think, you know, with all the hype with Brown, as there should be, but Alex Golish, he's going to run this system that a lot of these guys are running, and it's based on the ground game. So Jeremiah Cobb had a really solid breakout season for Auburn last year. I think he could more than match it and then obviously exceed his totals if he stays healthy. Would you give any consideration to Jeremiah Cobb?
100%. A lot of mouths to feed, though, with Byron Brown, also Bryson Washington. Also, Mike, I mean, consider like offensive line strength in this too. Auburn has a lot of offensive line, I think, questions coming into this year. I think kind of like South Florida last year, you could kind of see like Byron Brown being the leading rusher and then two or three running backs like right behind him kind of splitting up the carries and yards.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider any of the Texas running backs, Hollywood Smothers, or do you think he'll kind of split carries with Brown, therefore makes it maybe a little bit more difficult for a Texas running back to lead the SEC in rushing?
I was thinking kind of a split of carries there. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And throw in Arch Manning as well.
Right.
Again, he's a very underrated runner himself. So for all we know, I mean, surely he won't lead him in rushing, but you know, if he rushes for 500 yards, that's going to take it from the production of the other backs, I would think.
100%, Mike. And I think Smothers is kind of like your thunder. Relic Brown is kind of like your lightning. That's kind of what we saw out of them at their previous stops at NC State and Arizona State. I will say, I think if you're Texas, you don't want Arch Manning to lead the team in rushing, right? You're bringing in these guys to be good weapons and to help the run game take a step forward this year. I thought they had pretty good running backs like last year. I think there's a chance this group is even better. Also, with a better offensive line, I think that'll help. And I think that's kind of the challenge of projecting, you know, Smothers or Relique Brown. Throw in the guys at LSU like Harlan Berry and Caden Durham. Is one of those guys going to get enough volume to either rank in the top five or to be the leading rusher in the SEC. I think there's a big question about that.
Hey, how about this? Another wild card, Steven. How about, I know he got banged up last year, Fluff Bothwell. Would you consider him, again, Jeff Lebby, we give him all this credit for being a quarterback guru, which he is, and he produces some proficient offenses, but it's all based on the ground game. Going back to the Art Briles Baylor days when they had all these quarterbacks like RG3 that won the Heisman or were considered, but it's a running-based system first. Bothwell, would you give him any consideration?
Yes. Actually, he was my top wild card in this, Mike. Just under 700 rushing yards last season. No Davin Booth this year. You do have to kind of weigh the Kamario Taylor thing, too. Like, how much does he eat into the rushing yards? Also, you know, we talked about it with some of these other teams. I think offensive line is a question mark for Mississippi State. I know there was some optimism exiting spring about this group. It does seem like Jeff Lebby's a little bit more optimistic about the development of it. But still, like, is the volume going to be there, especially with Taylor, to be the leading rusher in the SEC? I think there's a pretty good case. Maybe Bothwell's not the leading rusher, but maybe a sleeper to finish much higher than I think maybe most people would think. I would probably have him close to the top five if we were just projecting overall rushers.
Okay. And then, you know, the Georgia backs, they bring back a lot, but I'm a little concerned that they're going to split carries there. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I think there's too many mouths to feed in the Georgia backfield. Nate Frazier, almost 1,000 yards last year. So, you know, 200, 250 carries could get him into the leading rusher category. And I still think he'll have a productive year. I just think there's too many backs in that backfield compared to like what you're maybe comparing at like Kewon Lacy, Jamal Roberts, Shaden Baugh, Deshaun Bishop, that kind of group coming into the season.
Well, you know, one group I had not really considered, I feel like I just completely omitted them, and I probably shouldn't have. Because, again, you said it quite well, Stephen. They're at under Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin. They, you know, highly, highly productive offense. Could one of the LSU running backs lead the SEC in rushing, or do you think it be due to the fact it's likely a committee approach? How do you see that shaking out?
Mike, I think you said it best. Like when you talk about like Jeff Lebby's offense and think about how even as the passing totals and all that, we still like run based. And when we saw that last year, like with Kewon Lacy, we saw the year that Ole Miss didn't make the playoff, you know, how they came up short, like in short yardage situations, like no pun intended. But, you know, Quinshon Judkins, how valuable he was to that Ole Miss run game. I look, you know, last year with Kewon Lacy, even before when Lane Kiffin was at FAU with Devin Singletary. So I do think somebody is going to take, I guess I would say I envision LSU being better at running the ball under Lane Kiffin. When I was kind of parsing through these two guys, Barry and Durham, for all conference honors, I kept coming back to, I just don't know which one is going to emerge. And also, the volume could be split, you know, 60-40, 50-50, because you do have two pretty solid options. So I think the offensive potential is there. I just wonder if the depth chart says it's closer to a split this year.
Okay, Steven, any other running backs that we have yet to mention that you considered may lead the Southeastern Conference in rushing next fall?
What about Sed Alexander? It's kind of a leap. He was somebody I considered for a spot like in the top five of the SEC. Maybe he sees a little bit more volume because you are starting a younger quarterback, another team with offensive line questions and Vanderbilt. Reuben Owens, like I think if he could stay healthy, plus what do you get out of the Texas A&M offensive line is going to be the question. We talked about the passing yards with Marcel Reed. So those were two others I kind of had in the mix to be top five type contenders for rushing yards this year.
Yeah, two good selections. I think Alexander probably gets, as is always the case, right, where we just kind of overlook Vanderbilt when we shouldn't do that. But he's been phenomenal, teamed up with Diego Pavia the last couple years. We'll have to see what he looks like without Diego. But I am very curious to watch him. I think it would be a stretch for him to lead the Southeastern Conference in rushing, but who knows? Maybe if they go all out and they rely so much on the ground attack, maybe that's where that offense evolves to. So it's not completely unrealistic. I think he is a really, really good player, though. And I also think, Steven, that's Steven up. If we were doing this for Cousins, he'd make the top five for sure.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you, Steven up. Love appreciate all the Steven Cousins up. And love when Lassen shares his football brain with us. American football, the real football. So appreciate you, Steven up.
Oh, always appreciate you, Steven up. We didn't talk about an Alabama running back here, Mike. You think Crowell, Daniel Hill, either one of those two get into the top five consideration here?
Maybe, Steve. Maybe I'm just so depressed with old Alabama. If we're relying on freshmen, what are we doing here? What year is it? But now maybe Crowell. I've not heard a bad thing about him. And I can't remember if I shared this on the show or not, but I did go back and watch some of his highlights. He looked like Herschel Walker in high school. So, I mean, he's playing high school competition, of course, but if he's anything scratching the surface of that, you know, we got to throw him into that conversation as well. So everybody that talks Alabama says this guy's legit. So yeah, I'll consider him, but top five, I'm not till I see it on a college field. Does that make sense?
It does. It isn't it weird though, considering the run of running backs that they have? Like Najee Harris was so good. Of course, Trent Richardson, Mark Ingram, of course, all those under Nick Saban, different story. I mean, Kalen DeBoer had a 1,000 yard rusher running back at Washington. So it's not like that he's got like a he's not against running the ball, but it also, of course, personnel, offensive line, and running backs too. So, I did not consider Crowell or Daniel Hill for this. I just thought too many offensive line questions for Alabama. Also, just thinking about the volume here. I mean, if Crowell was playing like Herschel Walker in the SEC, I mean, might as well just go ahead and print the national championship T-shirts for Alabama, because Keelan Russell's going to be awesome, and you throw in a running back of that stature. But I think it's a lot to ask in year one. I think it's more likely that the running game could improve, but maybe not enough to be in the top five this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, Steven, so I'll let you reveal your selection first. Who will lead the Southeastern Conference in rushing yards by the end of the regular season?
Mike, this is a very boring selection, but I'm two for two. I'm picking an Ole Miss player. I'm going Kevon Lacy. Mm. I just think the volume is going to be there. And again, he's a first-team All-American for me this offseason, considering the uncertainty surrounding Ahmad Hardy. I don't know if he maybe necessarily gets to 1,500 yards in the regular season, but he was my number one pick for this year.
I don't dislike it, Steven. I think that's a very, very good selection. And you're right. You know, he should get a ton of carries. He's getting paid to get a ton of carries. Nothing wrong with that one. And it may be the right answer, but I went somewhere different, which I always like when Steven and I disagree. I never see his list and he never sees mine. So I think it's kind of fun that way. But how about this one, Steven? I'm going for Cousin Shane. DeShaun Bishop, Tennessee. Oh. Again, they're going to rely, I think, on the ground game, as they should, with an inexperienced quarterback, whoever it is. And they're returning more snaps on the offensive line than anybody in the Southeastern Conference. I think that's huge. They have more receiving yards returning than anybody. So, I don't think the passing game is going to be some huge liability like some people do, but the bread and butter is just the running game. And with all this back, with DeShaun Bishop back, we're getting one of four rushers with 4,000 yards that returns in the Southeastern Conference. I think he could put up insane numbers, and Tennessee just did this, didn't they, to march their way to the college football playoff. Had the number one leading rusher 2 years ago in the conference. I think they can do it again.
I like that call for one reason. It's never as easy as we think. Like, just because Lacy was at the top of the board, he could get banged up. You know, and they may give Frazier more carries to keep Lacy fresh for the playoff. But Mike, also, like you said, great offensive line. Bishop is the focus, and there's not a ton of depth behind him. So I kind of envision a much more heavier workload incoming for DeShaun Bishop this year.
Yep. Okay, so where would you go again? We kind of went through all the candidates rushing touchdowns. But this one, I think, is a little bit more difficult, Stephen. I don't know if you would agree, but I think you, because we mentioned all these outstanding running backs, but here I think you got to filter in Lenore Sellers, Gunnar Stockton, Arch Manning, Byron Brown, maybe others at quarterback. How difficult is it to project who will lead the Southeastern Conference in rushing touchdowns? Or do you think just Lacey's going to beast mode at everybody again?
Should I give away my number one pick?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it's Keemon Lacey. I think it's tough to hit 24 touchdowns again, Mike.
Yeah.
But 24 touchdowns is pretty darn good. And again, regular season numbers could be a lot lower. But also you mentioned, I mean, quarterbacks, Byron Brown, Taylor, Sellers, Stockton. There's a lot of choices on the board here in the SEC to lead for rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, again, you can't not like this selection after he had 20. I mean, still, that's one of the more remarkable statistics we'll ever see, 24 rushing touchdowns. Now, again, that counts, you know, postseason and all that. But I went somewhere different, Stephen. I went, this could blow up in my face because I don't know how good their offensive line is going to be. But how about run the ball, Stephen? Jaden Ball here. For the Florida Gators, if one thing I know about John Summerall, he's going to want to pound the football. And I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So that's what kind of changes. I was talking about Aaron Filo perhaps being a sneaky leader in the SEC in passing yards, but this is rushing touchdowns. So basically, I think anytime they get inside the 10, Stephen, they're going to hand the ball to Jaden Ball as many times as it takes to get him in the goal line. I think Jaden Ball could be that guy that leads the SEC in rushing touchdowns in the regular season.
Only 8 last year, Mike. I think there's a good chance that number is at least over 10, maybe 12 this year. You know, touchdowns are so weird because they are like a measure of success, obviously, but also at the same time, like you have to be kind of fortunate, right? You have to be like right around the end zone to punch it in. Like who can generate a big play or two? So, Mike, I think there's a good chance that Keemon Lacey's numbers are going from 24 are going to come back a little bit, which kind of puts Deshaun Bishop, who had 16, into play for this year, too. I go back to, I think it was, sorry about bringing up this name, but Paul Petrino always had like a saying when he was the offensive coordinator at Illinois. He was like, FTS, like feed the studs. And I think about that for Florida, like your studs are Jaden Ball around the goal line when you get between the 20s and plus 2, just a better offensive scheme under Buster Faulkner. So I suspect I like your call of Jaden Ball. I still like Keemon Lacey more, but I think Ball gets more than 8 touchdowns this year.
If I asked you the same question, Stephen, most rushing touchdowns, but you can only pick quarterbacks, who would be your answer there?
Mike, I think you're going to want to have me drug tested after the show because I'm going to pick Byron Brown at Auburn. 14 last year at South Florida. He led the team in rushing. Obviously, there is the wear and tear factor of the SEC. I think if you know you're thinking maybe Texas with Arch Manning, I think the two running backs play a role in that. I also, Mike, I like Kamario Taylor here too. 8 rushing touchdowns last year in limited time. Obviously, the sample sizes will be different this year, and of course, the situation will be different. I wouldn't be surprised if Kamario Taylor gets the double-digit rushing touchdowns this year.
Oh, I think he should, and I think he probably will, Stephen. I like those selections. Nothing wrong with either of them. But how about this, Stephen? If this guy is not top 3, let's say, that may be too lofty. Top 5 minimum. Top 5 rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. I think something's gone horribly wrong. And he wasn't there last year. And I think that's a big reason why we've overhauled everything. Sellers has got to be in that conversation. Doesn't he?
Agree. He and Byron Brown and Taylor were kind of the 3 quarterbacks that I had circled. And certainly we mentioned Arch and Gunnar Stockton, but I think South Carolina needs Sellers to get back to being the Lenore Sellers that we saw at the end of that 2024 season, which gets back to rushing and rushing touchdowns. So I think typically that trend line of quarterbacks, Mike, is you pass more, run less as your career goes on. But I think that's kind of, I don't want to say opposite is true here for South Carolina. I think you really need Lenore Sellers to be a more active presence in the ground game this year.
I think so too. Otherwise, it's going to be a long year. All right.
Offensive line concerns too for South Carolina this year.
There are every year seemingly down there. All right. Receiving yards, Stephen, who's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in receiving yards by the end of the regular season? We already know you're in love with Cam Colbin, so we got to throw him into the conversation, and I think that's fair. He's a beast mode. Isaiah Satania, who quietly, I believe he was top three in the Southeastern Conference last year in receiving yards, if I'm not mistaken. I think he might be the number one back returning receiving yards. Mario Craver at A&M was a huge breakout candidate. I think he's going to be in that conversation. Can Ryan Williams bounce back after a sophomore slump? I think we got to consider him. How about a little bit of a curveball here, Stephen? Anthony Evans, Mississippi State. He was very high on the list last season, and Mississippi State's top receivers now in the NFL. Deuce Alexander, Ole Miss, right? I think he's the highest returning receiver for Ole Miss, so he could be the go-to option for old Trinidad. Braylon Staley, I think, is going to be in that conversation for Tennessee. He was SEC Freshman of the Year. He was amazing last year. And then I also am considering, this might be buying a little too much in the offseason hype, but I'm allowed, Stephen, because you're buying into all the Cam Colbin hype. Who had more yards at Auburn last year? It wasn't Cam Colbin. It was Eric Singleton, who's now at Florida, playing for a competent offensive mind now in Buster Faulkner. So I think there's a shot he's there. And then I didn't even write this guy's name down, but I probably should have. But again, he needs to stay healthy before we give him anything. But Dallas Wilson, Florida, perhaps throw him into the conversation. P5 says Donovan Olugbide. Always screw that name up. I mean, we could consider him. Anybody else on your list there, Stephen?
Mike, I think those are all the candidates that I kind of had for my top tier. I would also just throw out maybe Junior Sherrill over at Vanderbilt, depending on how Jared Curtis develops this year. Also, what about Nick Harbor? The volume of catches may not be there, but the production in terms of yardage is certainly going to be there. So this position was a lot tougher, I think, to kind of assemble a top tier list. It feels very open. Does that kind of how you felt too?
Yeah, completely. Completely, Stephen. And I almost made a selection that I was just trying to be different than you, basically. I'll admit it. But I do think it's a quality option. And that's why I went with Anthony Evans, Mississippi State. How about that? Is that crazy? I mean, again, Jeff Lebby, I'm not trying to pick the best receiver, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him. But again, he was top 10 in the SEC last year in receiving. Who was number one? It was his teammate, right?
Brennan Thompson. Yeah. Only two receivers in the SEC went over 1,000 yards last year.
Mm-hmm. And they're both in the NFL now. So Anthony Evans could be that guy, I think.
I like that call from a volume standpoint. Like, he just seems like the clear cut number one. If you look at some of the other options on the board, like a Cam Colbin, you have Wingo, you have Mosley. I'll give you my number one. I actually went with Satanga at Oklahoma. I think Cam Colbin might lead the SEC in touchdown catches. I think the yardage might be spread around. Satanga and Mateer built a nice connection last year. They did bring in Trell Harris and Parker Livingston, but I think there's a good chance that Satanga just builds on what he did last year. And a lot of these receivers are kind of clustered at the top of the conference for number one in receiving yards.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that's not a bad selection at all, Stephen. Like you were saying too, the connection he has with John Mateer, that seemed to get stronger as the year went on. So if we could carry that over to another, I mean, it seemed like that. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't seem like they had that connection all season. It seemed like the back half is when that really started to take off. So if we get a full year of that, my goodness, it could be pretty spectacular there in Norman. So no, I don't disagree with that at all.
I think he was over 100 against Missouri and LSU. And so I think you're kind of like seeing that late season surge. But also, Mike, I mean, if you think Oklahoma's offense takes that step forward this year, and I think it will, I think Mateer is going to be better in his second year. You think there's more volume, more yardage in the passing game. That's probably benefits Satanga, even with an improved group of playmakers around him too.
Mm-hmm. So you may have tipped your hand already, Stephen, at receiving touchdowns, but again, this is a little bit different for me than it is receiving yards. So we've mentioned some outstanding receivers already, but some of the other guys that I consider for touchdowns, which again, I consider it to be a little bit different, Stephen. I would say Ryan Wingo, I'm throwing him into that conversation. Not that he can't lead them in receiving yards. He certainly could, but touchdowns. How about Tennessee's Mike Matthews? I think he could play a factor. Isaiah Horton, now at A&M. Satania, you already mentioned, he had a lot of touchdowns last year. Lotsier Brooks from Alabama. Tre'Dez Green, LSU. What are your thoughts on those guys? Any others stand out to you?
I'll go back to a name we mentioned with receiving yards, but what about Nick Harbor here too? 6 receiving touchdowns last year. If the offense improves, if he's more involved, he only had 30 catches and some of those were big plays. I would like to see more volume to consider him at number one for receiving touchdowns, but I think there's certainly that big playability. You mentioned both Tennessee guys. I mean, Mario Craver doesn't have the volume of touchdowns. Like, that seems like Isaiah Horton's role. We kind of talked about like big bodies in the end zone. Horton can be that guy. Craver's your playmaker all around on the field. So it feels like there's a lot of, that's kind of the tricky part for some of these teams. Some of these teams have 2 options, whereas for LSU, you could easily see somebody like Tre'Dez Green, who had 7 touchdowns last year with pretty bad quarterback play, being more of the focal point this year in an improved offense.
Yeah, you keep mentioning Nick Harbor, Stephen. It makes me think that, is there a world where we look back? You know, there's always these guys, right, that now, again, he's been hyped because of the track, because of the 5-star status. He's been hyped since he got to campus, basically. But there's often times, right, where there's a guy where he just has one dominant year, and you're like, good God, why were they not getting him the football? And then he's off to the NFL, right? Like, if all the pieces come together, and I, you know, again, he's new to the position. This might be the first time he's actually playing for a competent offensive coach and in an offensive system. You know, could you see a world, Stephen, where Kendall Briles, I can imagine where he's like watching the film and saying, all right, we got to get this guy the ball 10 times a game. Otherwise, yeah, we deserve to get fired. And just feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. And good things are bound to happen. Could you see a world where that happens?
100%, Mike. I think that, like you said, feed the studs, feed the big play guy. And Nick Harper's kind of been that so far. But there's a chance now with a better scheme, Lenore Sellers, and, you know, getting back on track this year, that his play really could go to another level. And so not only does he become that, he's still that big play threat, but he's given you more all around ability. So I do like the idea of Kendall Briles coming in and kind of unlocking maybe Nick Harbor to another level this season too.
Mm-hmm. All right. So where would you go here, Stephen? Who's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in receiving touchdowns?
All right, Mike, the first Longhorn pick of the night, since you kind of figured I would have a Texas offensive love fest tonight, but it's Cam Coleman. He had 13 touchdowns in 2 years at Auburn. I think he might get 13 this year at Texas.
Stephen, you're just so easy to read, Stephen. The Texas bias is just like steam coming out of your ears, even with the headphones on. But I always say, I call you the encyclopedia for a reason, because you're a smart guy. And I'm gonna agree with you on this one. Give me Cam Coleman to lead the Southeastern Conference in receiving touchdowns, because I like to pick fun at Sarkisian too, but what does that guy do better than just about anybody in the sport is identify matchups, get his playmakers the football. And this guy, for the first time in his college career, playing for a competent offensive system, he's never had a quarterback that can play football in college. Now he's teamed with Arch Manning. Come on, give me a break. So I think Cam Coleman, you know, I think he could have 15 touchdowns this year, maybe even more, depending on, you know, how many Ryan Wingo gets, how much Arch Manning runs the football in. I think Cam Coleman, to me, this was kind of an easy pick.
Longhorn Mike over there. What? I haven't heard that many nice things about Texas in a while, except for the ones that were coming from me. I'm kidding, of course. No, Mike, I think it's kind of an easy pickup, like talent, scheme, and good quarterback play. Like Cam Coleman didn't have a quarterback of Arch Manning or system caliber that he's going to have over in Austin this year. So I just think you just see that. You can almost envision it now, like Arch throwing those passes into the corner of the end zone, Cam Coleman making some kind of acrobatic catch or going up and getting it over the defensive back. So I just think, like I said, it's talent, it's offensive scheme, it's quarterback play. Those are all getting better, and he's an elite talent. Now he's got elite pieces around him, and I think he'll get to top of the SEC. But you mentioned Ryan Williams too at Alabama. I do think we'll see him rebound. Only had 4 touchdowns last season, but 8 as a freshman. It's one of those years where you start thinking about the NFL as a junior, payday. I think we'll see a much more focused and better Ryan Williams, like Keelan Russell. I think those two could develop a nice connection this year. And so wouldn't surprise me if Ryan Williams is much closer to top of the board in touchdowns than he was last season.
Now, let me ask you this, though, Stephen, because we've seen a lot of highlight, spectacular touchdowns from Cam Coleman, but maybe some of that was because his quarterbacks were so awful they couldn't even hit him. You know, do we see that number of acrobatic scores in Austin this year, or will they just be more ho-hum because Arch is just going to put it right on the money to where he doesn't have to make these spectacular catches?
Could be a combination of both, maybe. I think we still see some acrobatic catches. Like Cam Coleman's just got those like sticky hands that can go up and get them. But it feels like there's going to be some easy ones that he didn't get at Auburn. It'll be like Arch just throwing it and Coleman's wide open, trotting into the end zone for one of those 30-plus touchdowns he's going to throw this year.
Hey, shout out, Jake. We appreciate you, buddy. Member for 22 months. That's incredible. Scale of 1 to 10. Confidence in Ahmad Hardy to return for conference play. So let's show the schedule for Missouri. So conference play would be week 4. Missouri plays Arkansas Pine Bluff to open the season, at Little K, Kansas, Troy at home, then at Mississippi State September 26th. Scale of 1 to 10, Stephen, confidence, Ahmad Hardy return for conference play. I mean, I don't even know what we'd be basing this off of, but what's your thoughts here?
Man, that's a tough one. Mike, you could almost say 5 just because it's kind of at the middle of the road, but I hate to do that. I guess
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Right. I don't want to be Mr. Negative here, but I almost would go on the lower end of that just because it just feels like, considering the severity of it, considering the NFL is ahead, I hope Ahmad Hardy plays all 12 games, or certainly plays all in the SEC. You don't need him to beat Pine Bluff and Troy. I think Kansas is going to be a lot closer than those other two. You can get by with Jamal Roberts, but you know their bye week is October 24th. That's a long time. It's almost like what, half of the season? So I don't know. I'd probably go in the lower end just because that's kind of the data we're working with. We just don't have a lot of intel. That's probably being Mr. Negative here.
What if the question was back by or back for Arkansas? I'm basically picking that because of the bye. So back, you know, prepared and ready by the bye.
I think you'd have to put that number higher, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would think 7.
Yeah, I was going to say 7. I might go 8 just because that's, you know, X amount of months, 3 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bye week. he's healthy for that stretch run where Missouri's trying to play for something in the SEC, play, you know, maybe the playoff, anything. I think that bye week's kind of a good marker there. Now, we may get some different intel at SEC media days, and Drinkwitz may surprise us by saying he's on track to be ready for the first game, but I'd be surprised considering the opponent strength in those first couple games.
And then shout out. Now here's the silver lining. Confidence 1-10 in Jamal Roberts' ability to fill in. For me, that's a 9. So again, I have ultimate faith in him to come in here and compete. And it's again, not to take anything away from him. I just had a 9, right? But what have we seen from Drink his entire time at Missouri? He's going to produce elite rushing statistics and elite running backs. So I'm not saying he's a product of the system, but he's talented. He's in the right system. They're bringing back all these offensive linemen. They've got a quarterback now. Again, Ahmad Hardy is, he's in his own class. But I think Jamal Roberts will just fill in and have close to the same production.
I do too. Very, very high confidence. You mentioned an offensive line scheme. I think track record, also what we saw out of Jamal Roberts last year. So I think the confidence would be very high from him. I think the question would be, you're already down one running back. He's your two. Make sure early in the season, I think it's going to be critical to get some of those other backs some carries before you get to SEC play.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we had another one. We appreciate it. Texas Traveler. Watch out for the third string running back at Texas. He wasn't recruited out of Florida for nothing. So, I mean, that's the most Texas comment we're going to get, Steven. I mean, overlook the All-Americans we got. Third string is the real deal, but maybe he is.
Is that the Derek Cooper, the freshman coming in this year?
It must be. So, yeah, I mean, until they do anything, I don't buy the hype in hardly any of these freshmen. I really don't. Unless he's a Tennessee quarterback.
I think that's why Hollywood Smothers and Relique Brown will probably have trouble leading the SEC in rushing. There's almost too many good backs in the backfield. And then you add in a freshman who's going to compete. But Mike, I think, you know, very broadly, we've talked about this offseason. I think how important it's going to be to have depth. And it's kind of talking about Missouri in this conversation too. Not knowing when Ahmad Hardy is going to be back in that SEC slate coming up in, you know, October, November, you got to develop that depth early in the season, whereas Texas can roll in Smothers, Brown, they can roll in some of the other running backs too. So I think it's going to be early in the season will be critical to kind of, especially for these SEC teams at 9 games, to get some depth established before you hit the heart of conference play.
All right, Steven. So now let us switch over to the defensive side of the football. Who's going to lead the Southeastern Conference in sacks this season? We've got Colin Simmons. I believe he led the SEC in sacks last year. So, of course, he's back from Mighty Texas. Princewell Umanamilia. I've always butchered that name. I'm not even going to try. Princewell down there at LSU now. Switch teams with Kiffin. Yonsei Pierre, he was breakout star for Alabama's defense. Got to consider him. Xavier Atkins, my goodness, was he good for Auburn, All-American style. Quincy Rhodes at Arkansas, he's phenomenal. Taylor Wine, Oklahoma. You know, they've got so many linemen down there, it's insane. Those are kind of the guys that stand out to me that are back. Anybody else that you would give some heavy consideration to?
I would throw out Dylan Stewart, Mike. I think we know super, super talented, 11 career sacks. He has not finished in the top 5 of the SEC in sacks in back-to-back years. But, of course, the big question is going to be the health, the back injury. Also, what's on the other side of him, too. Like we saw with difference, like having somebody like Kyle Kennard made, you know, for South Carolina. So I think the talent is there. The question is going to be, is the health plus the production going to be good enough to lead in sacks? This also gets at the conversation of if we're just ranking pure talent, like Dylan Stewart's at the top of the list, the sack total may not be first in the SEC this year, though.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like Missouri's always has guys in the conversation. I know they're replacing a lot of defensive players. So, you know, that's going to be interesting in Corey Batoon's defense. Blake Baker, I know we already mentioned Princewell, but Blake Baker, you know, for this one, I kind of feel like, Steven, you almost got to go with the scheme more than the player at times, but there's some really good players as well. Anybody else that you'd give consideration? Again, this is a little bit, this is tough for sacks because, again, it's, you know, there's a lot of good pass rushers that get to the quarterback right after he threw the football. And we don't really, I mean, I guess we count hurries, but even that, I tried to look up quarterback hurries. That's a hard statistic to even come across.
How about, Mike, you mentioned Missouri, Darius Smith, you know, kind of even another year removed from the injury, kind of has to be the guy, especially with Damon Wilson and some of those other players gone up front. I would also throw out Jaden Woods at Florida, Mike. I think Brad White, John Sumrall do a much better job of getting the most out of that defensive talent. I considered like Suntarine Perkins, Rasheem Biles, the linebacker from Texas. Keep an eye on him. He was good at getting to the quarterback at times at Pitt. Also, I just penciled in somebody from Georgia, right? Like Chris Cole, Quintavious Johnson, somebody off the edge is going to be able to probably generate more production at getting to the quarterback than Georgia had last year. I kind of stuck with the established names, I think, more so than probably any position. Like some of these other ones, you have some wild cards. I think Jaden Woods is kind of my wild card here, but for the most part, I think there's a lot of established names coming back that make sense to lead the SEC in sacks.
How about one more I just thought of that I should have had written down? How about Suntarine Perkins at Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Could you see him factoring into that race?
Good call, because you do wonder with Keaton Thomas and Luke Farrelly how that linebacker group like stacks up. Like those guys are going to be man in the middle, and you can throw Perkins off the edge maybe a little bit more. That's a good call.
All right, so who would you go with, Steven, to lead the Southeastern Conference in sacks this upcoming regular season?
Colin Simmons, Mike. 12 sacks last year. He led the SEC. It's hard to pick against him, right?
It is. So, yeah, I guess this is just freaking, we should have just called this Steven Texas Day or something. But, yeah, I went with Colin Simmons as well. It's very difficult to pick against him. And now playing for Will Muschamp, I would imagine day one, Muschamp was just like, all right, how do we manufacture as many times Colin Simmons getting to the quarterback as humanly possible? So I think that was an easy answer right there.
It was very easy for me. I weighed like a breakout from Dylan Stewart, but Simmons's production, defensive scheme, it was too much to overcome for any other player, I think.
so it won't be. I've already forgotten the guy's name. The guy that Tennessee just kicked off.
Chas Coleman, right?
That was my answer till last week.
That was Cousin Shane's submission, right?
All right, and then this will be impossible, right? But I just thought it was fun to give defense a little bit more love here. Interceptions. Now, again, this is a lot of I don't want to say luck, but again, sometimes the ball's just there, right? Now you got to be good in coverage. And if you're too good in coverage, they're just not going to throw your way also. So there's a lot to consider when it comes to interceptions. But I know Steven is very high on Ty Redmond from Tennessee, so I considered him. Bray Hubbard, he was like a magnet for the football last year there at Alabama. DJ Pickett, LSU breakout. Kelly Jones, Mississippi State, I think he's the best corner in the Southeastern Conference. You got KG Bolden there at Georgia. I mean, there's just so many different options here. Who kind of comes to your mind, Steven, when we're talking who could lead the Southeastern Conference in interceptions this year?
I hate to just go based upon last couple years of stats, Mike, but Bray Hubbard's had 7 interceptions over the last 2 years. He's been consistently around the ball. He kind of jumped to the top of the board. I also think Ty Bryant, maybe one of the underrated players in the SEC. He's had 5 over the last 2 years. Jelani McDonald at Texas. Also, Ty Benefield, the Boise State transfer at LSU, from Boise State going to LSU. I could see him be a contender here, too. I think you said it best, though. You know, you look at guys like Ellis Robinson, Kelly Jones, like those are your top corners, DJ Pickett, Ty Redmond. But you probably, I don't know, would they lead the SEC this year in interceptions? Because teams aren't going to throw that way. So I kind of defaulted, at least on my list, to some guys who maybe were more safety types, kind of hunting the ball down instead of corners.
Okay, good, because I went with a corner. So I could be very wrong here, Steven, but I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to say Kelly Jones, Mississippi State. I think he's going to have to make a lot of plays this year. Shout out Zach Arnett coming back to scheme up our defense. And I say that it could very well be Isaac Smith now, you know, his safety partner up there. So I think we're going to manufacture some turnovers. I think we're going to get a lot more havoc from this defense of Mississippi State with Zach Arnett in here. So shout out Kelly Jones. I didn't realize that I was giving Mississippi State so much love. I have two Mississippi State guys in my selections here, but do you agree, disagree with us on that pick?
Mike, I just don't know that teams are going to throw much his way. I mean, if I'm an opposing offense, I'm just throwing to the other side of the ball. I don't want to throw it anywhere near Jones's direction. So I guess like you could say he could maximize like the 20 plus attempts that he'll probably see in SEC, or how many targets, you know, 20 to 40, wherever it ends up. He maximizes those. He becomes a ball hawk and picks it off. I'll be boring, Mike. I went with Bray Hubbard. Like I said, he's had seven over the last 2 years. He's been consistently around the ball. The secondary is the strength of that Alabama defense, and maybe with some question marks up front as they're working some of those pieces in, they get the back end havoc from Hubbard, Keon Sab, someone like that. So it's boring, but Bray Hubbard has the track record, so I took him to lead the SEC in interceptions.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree at all, Steven. I think that's a solid pick. Some guys just have a knack for getting to the football, and that is Bray Hubbard right there. Maybe he's this generation's honey badger. He just didn't have a cool nickname yet. You know what?
Yeah, we need a nickname for Bray Hubbard, because he has, I mean, I will say, Mike, you know, doing the all-conference team like Bray Hubbard, I think Marcus Radcliffe at Texas A&M is another guy. Like, there's some guys in the SEC that I think SEC fans know but probably aren't getting the national credit. So that's Hubbard. I mean, Marcus Radcliffe picked off a couple passes last year. A&M didn't do much of that last season. If they get back to that, maybe he's a contender for that. So a lot of good safeties, I think, coming back in the SEC. Maybe some younger names needing to emerge at corner this year.
Right. All right, Steven. So, and I think that's all the statistics that we were going to predict. Anything else on your mind here before we close this one a little early so people can go watch their soccer?
Yeah, Mike, this was fun. It was fun to project the categories. Of course, counting down the weekends, my friend, get all those to-do lists done, because before you know it, kickoff's going to be here. Please pick up a copy of the Athlon Sports Preview Magazine to athlonsports.com. Magazines at the very top. Also, bookstores, grocery stores, Target, CVS, you name it. It's on sale there right now.
Without a doubt. And before we go, Stephen, I want to shout out Cousin Jared, big LSU homer. He gifted a membership, Steven, to Spoony Bard. Spoony, welcome to
the family.
Yeah, appreciate you, Jared. We appreciate you, buddy. We still got an LSU preview coming at some point just for you. We ain't doing it for Kiffin. We're doing it for you. So, hey, that's all we got on this episode. Shane and I also, we were supposed to do a show yesterday, but don't get mad at Shane. Something came up, so we couldn't do it. But it's going to be a hell of a show when we do it. You guys are going to love it. So be on the lookout for that. We got more fall camp previews coming up. May have a guest this week as well in studio. No promises there, but that's being discussed. And then Shane and I are actually getting together to do multiple podcasts together that we're going to be putting on the channel before long. So a lot of good stuff coming here. I know it's, you know, hot outside. Football seems forever away, but we're just trying to do everything we can to bring you enough content before the season gets here. Steven, we appreciate you. As always, we appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.